and all these things will be added to you as well. We don't seek after all the other stuff of life. We seek Jesus first and foremost. And we're servants, just like Jesus is a servant. We came not to be served, but to serve. And so as followers, live that out as well. And further, we're saints. It's our identity. We're brand new in Jesus. We're not defined by our worst or our best moments. We're defined by whose we are. And we're Jesus. We're bought at a price. And now we get into seeking to glorify God, living on purpose and seeking to glorify God. I want to look at that seeking to first. Again, that seek first the kingdom of God. We can move on a couple slides there. Yeah, another one yet. And there's several things about seeking here. It's desiring, wanting something, but it's more than that. It's actively and intentionally moving towards it. There is a striving for it, but recognizing that we don't achieve this alone. It's something we ask for and we ask God to do, and He does some of it through us. It's that tag team match or whatever. It's something we partner with God on. We don't do this alone, and we don't achieve it by our greatest efforts, but it's something we earnestly desire and we're willing to move towards it, no matter what the cost. We've said we want to bring glory to God and we want to seek that actively. Seek first, as in this is the highest importance. We want to glorify God, have Him receive the praise and the glory and the honor, and actively get better at that. Learn how to do that better. It's a direction, this seeking to. We want to glorify God more and more, more next week and more next month than what we're currently able to do right now. Learn together how to move towards this. So in seeking it, it's something that we're searching for and we're moving towards. It's directional. And our church has said, we're going to move towards this. As followers of Jesus, seeking to glorify God. It flows out of followers of Jesus. This is what followers of Jesus naturally do. We bring glory to God. Psalm 86:12 says, I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Not just in a moment, not just when we feel like it, right? It's almost easy Sunday mornings, right? Come in here, praise God, whatever. We can go through the motions, sing the songs. But this is my whole heart. Everything that I am, I'm going to praise you. Give thanks to you. And as we give thanks, remember, this is in response to who God is, I said at the beginning. Glorifying God is really living in response to who God is and His goodness. We respond to His glory. And we want to make that glory known. Give Him the glory. Glorify His name forever. Forever. Never stop doing it. I want to look at definitions just a wee bit here. Glory and glorify are all throughout Scripture. I'm not going to look at too many this morning, but just looking at some definitions. Glory, the singular splendor of God and its consequences for mankind. The splendor of God, something that dazzles us, really catches our eye. It's way brighter than the brightest neon sign. Just, wow, that's amazing. For me, it'd be like driving through the mountains and coming across an incredible valley. Or after a long hike, going up to the top of a mountain and going, wow, the splendor. And that's creation. The Creator is so much above that. The splendor of God and its consequences for mankind. He's so loving, and the consequence is internalizing, receiving that love regularly. There's a huge consequence. And glorifies honor and respect and worship, bringing glory to another, pointing to another. He's worthy of the glory. I thank him, right? Thank is an, being thankful is an active way or a natural way of leading to glorifying God. It's responding to all that God is and all that God does and then putting it in the correct framework. Henry Lauder did this. He's a Scottish singer and songwriter. He sang to an overflowing audience. And the audience was so moved that immediately at the end of the concert, zoop, everybody stands and applauds and applauds. And then when the applause dies out, starts a chant, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he's overwhelmed by this, but in incorrect humility, he says, don't thank me, but thank the God who put these songs in my heart. Everything we have, everything we are, is a gift from God. And he rightly deserves the glory for it. And so Henry Lauder correctly does that. He says, take your focus off of me. You've got it misplaced, but let this bring glory to God. We get the opportunity to do that too. Maybe we're not singers and songwriters. I'm certainly not. But there's ways that we are made to glorify God. Those of us who are married, our marriage should bring glory to God. All of life should. But marriage is that relationship, the human relationship, that should most closely reflect the one that God wants with us. Nancy DeMoss has said, the ultimate purpose of marriage is not to make us happy, but to glorify God. People should be able to see a godly marriage and go, wow, there must be a God that two sinful people can live together like that. That's amazing. Not only that there is a God, but that he's good. And it should bring him glory. Right? Oh, you guys are such an amazing couple. Appropriate response, and not just a fake response, but a real, authentic response is, praise God. Because none of us deserve the level of health that we enjoy in our marriages. It's him putting good things into us. He's put good examples for us to follow in our parents and grandparents and others around us. He's given us resources to work together on things like communication. To him be the glory. Gary Thomas says, what if God designed marriage to make us holy more than to make us happy? We're all on a journey moving towards something. And if we're moving towards holiness, this is bringing glory to God. That's what we want to do better and better as a church. We glorify God when we live as we were created to and not fight against it. Marriage is a great relationship to assist us on this journey. Nothing like marriage to point out our own sinfulness. But it's also an opportunity to go, God, will you take this and transform it and change me so I have more of your character. And it brings more glory to God as we surrender to him. Surrender that process of becoming who he's created us to be. Holy. Remember, saints, followers of Jesus. But it's not only the only relationship, all of life. John 12:28. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good servants of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Boy, that's a thick passage, eh? But in all of life, in all of these things. These could be burdens, right? We could preach through this. Come on, be sober-minded. Keep loving one another. But these are things we're created for, that we learn how to walk in them as we follow Jesus. And we do it for this purpose, that in everything that God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. All of these things, we walk together. People are watching our relationships, and may they be glorifying God as they see what goes on. Not because we get it perfect, but because they can see us relying more on God than on ourselves. We learn how to do these things, and we're committed to these. And when we fail, we confess it, and we move forward. God is so majestic. His splendor is overwhelming, and once in a while, we get a little glimpse of it. But somehow, we dull it often in life, don't we? To glorify God is to make clear the glory of God. It is to give honor to God, to admire and display His greatness. It is to put God on display in a way that esteems or lifts up His nature, makes it known. We should glorify God because He created us. Romans 11 says this. If we can walk through the verses, I'm just going to touch on them. I won't even read some of them. But we'll walk through a few verses here. Romans 11. It is He who has made us. From Him and through Him and to Him all things. To Him be glory forever. Again, everything we are and have is a gift from God. God made everything to give Him glory. And this is why He made everything. The heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19 says. Even the heavens, even creation goes, wow, there is a God. He's creative and He's good. And it reveals His splendor. Now don't confuse general revelation with specific revelation, special revelation. We also need God's Word. People don't completely come to faith in Christ through seeing the splendor of God and creation. But it broadcasts it. It proclaims it as well. Isaiah 43 says, the wild beasts will honor me. Even the wild beasts, right? We best glorify God when we live as we're created to live. Even the wild beasts, when they live as they're created to, it brings glory to God. Even a flower coming out brings glory to God. It's doing what it's supposed to do. Even the wild beasts will honor Him. And when Jesus was born, the angel said in Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest. That's how Jesus is revealed. Glory to God in the highest. You get a little picture. Wow! The splendor of Almighty God. And then the shepherds, when they're returning, they return how? Somberly and distressed, right? After seeing Jesus in the manger. No, they're glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. Because it was just as it was told them. They were glorifying and praising God. And when we get a glimpse of God as He truly is, the natural response is to glorify and praise God. And we do that as followers of Jesus. We're committing to this as a church, to glorify God better than we have been. To get better at it, learn more about it. What does this mean for us? Well, this is individual. For sure. Each of us as an individual, or who are part of this church, we're saying, I want to glorify God. We need to remember this. You are one of a kind. Oh, I skipped over a... Oh, no. You are one of a kind. If we can jump ahead a couple of slides there. You are one of a kind, designed to glorify God as only you can. It says that we're all given a gift, a way of serving God that only we have. You're one of a kind, designed to glorify God. So will you let him? A lot of times we hinder it. We live out of fear rather than out of faith. We hinder things rather than fully acknowledging or discovering who God's created us to be and then using it for his glory. Really investing in it. Right? I mentioned the musician earlier. I forget his name right now, but he didn't just sit down at the piano and do that concert one day because he decided to. He actually practiced that for years. Right? He put his whole heart into it, into writing those songs. He's going, God, what would you have me write? He's seeking him in the whole process, and he presented it before people. He's gifted each of us. It doesn't mean it's simple, but we go on a journey. I know some other guys that are really gifted at music, and I'm not. But I pray that they would use it properly as a way to glorify God. As only you can. This is individual, but it's also corporate. It's all of us working together. It's in the interactions, even in a you know, the brokenness of our relationships where we need to offer forgiveness and receive forgiveness and all of that. God's working through that, and he brings glory because, again, we don't rely on ourselves. It's a picture of us relying on God. We're made for God's glory. The majority of the books of the Bible plainly state the desire that God be glorified and that we're created for it. And then there's part of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, can't quite say the word, the chief end of mankind is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. This is what we're moving towards. This is why we're created at all, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So let's practice these things. Let's enjoy God and glorify him forever. John Piper's put this, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. When we're striving after other things, oh, I don't have this area of life together, and I don't have this, and we're not satisfied in God. We're striving after something. But seek first the kingdom of God, and these other things will be added as well. When we're truly satisfied, wow, he's giving me all I need. All I have and am is a gift from God, and we're using it that way. And we're truly satisfied in him, then we're bringing glory to him as well. I tried to write this a little different way. We most glorify God when we live as he has created us to live. This isn't a great big burden. Oh, I got to live this out like Beverly. Or I got to live this out like Doug. No, I can live this out uniquely as me in my relationships. But I live surrendered to God. I live under his lordship, which is what we've said. We are followers of Jesus, not followers of ourselves. Seeking to glorify God. That's how he's created us to live. 1 Corinthians 10:31, right at the end of the chapter. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Do it all. However, whatever we're doing, the most mundane thing in life and the most, wow, spectacular thing of life. In all of it, do it all for the glory of God. We're followers of Jesus. What we discover, right? He's the potter, we're the clay. So if he's made us a pitcher, then be the best pitcher that we can be. Pitcher of water, whatever. Or the best cup, if he's made us to be one of those. But to discover and delight in who God's made us to be. Many of us second guess that. Well, I don't know. I can't do this. I can't do that. We're much more aware of what we can't do than what we're aware of what we can do. And who we are. We're aware of what we're not rather than who we are. Don't let negative stuff define us. We're created to be people who bring glory to God in all that we do. And we glorify God when we reflect his character. I've just read 1 Corinthians 10:31. It'll be up there for a couple more minutes. But 10:31 is a larger passage. See, Paul's not writing a church that has it all together here and is doing everything perfectly in 1 Corinthians. This is a broken church with a whole bunch of broken relationships, and they get a whole bunch of things wrong in life. But it's also a passage on the true nature of Christian freedom, of living out, bringing glory to God. And we do that when we walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ, enjoying Him and growing in the wonder of His splendor. We sometimes think freedom is, well, I get to do whatever I want and I get to go my own way. But we bring glory to God. Christian freedom is learning to live as we were created to live, and that brings glory to God. So I want to walk through just a real brief outline here of some of 1 Corinthians 10 without even bringing up the other verses. We're just focusing on 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. He's been addressing a problem within the church of how they've been taking communion. And we'll get into that in a minute just before we take communion. But in leading up to this, Christian freedom is freedom to enjoy all God's gifts with an enhanced appreciation for them. To enjoy all of God's gifts, right? He's made creation that we can enjoy it, but with an enhanced appreciation for them. Like the psalm says, it brings God glory, and we can enjoy life. We shouldn't be the most somber people on the planet. We should have quick senses of humor. I've always loved people's... I want to record all the people with a really unique laugh sometimes. Don't you want to just hear some really good laugh sometimes? And it just changes our perspective. And enjoy it. Enjoy the uniqueness of the people around us and God's creation and His world. And we have the incredible freedom to enjoy that. But not enjoy it in a sinful or selfish manner, because that leads to bondage, not freedom. And to truly give thanks. Remember Psalm 86:12. I will give you thanks, God, and thanks leads to glorifying God. Christian freedom is freedom to live for God and for the good of others. He's walking through here in 1 Corinthians. For God and for the good of others, so that their consciences are not offended, right? We're not offending or hindering someone else as making them stumble. We bring glory to God when we're living for their good, not just for ours. And in God, we can do that. Christian freedom is freedom to do everything for the glory of God. Here we are in verse 31. Goes on in verse 33. Christian freedom is the freedom to live and bring others to salvation. Obviously, that brings glory to God, and we get to play a role in that. What's our role in that? Our unique role, our unique... We have role, whatever, words, actions in a specific relationship that God wants to work through to bring somebody to faith in Himself. And Christian freedom is the freedom to follow Jesus. We are followers of Jesus. Just a brief outline that there's a context to this verse 31. So whether you eat or drink, whether you choose to eat this food or not and drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Now we can come up with some excuses. Well, this is my freedom. I get to do this. I want to do this. It's not a permission to do sinful things or hinder someone else's walk. But true freedom is to live under the authority of God. That's true freedom. And then we watch what He does around us, and it brings glory to Him, and it brings people to faith, and all sorts of things go on. Dodd, Gil Dodd, I don't know if you've heard of him, this was years ago. He actually broke the indoor record for the running the mile. Did it in 4:10.6, run the indoor mile. And he breaks this record, and then he stands up in Madison Square Garden and speaks this. He says, I thank the Lord for guiding me through the race and seeing fit to let me win. I thank Him always for His guiding presence. I don't win those races. God wins them. You see, God has given me all I have. I have one great lack. I don't have the one thing the coaches all say that a distance runner must have. I don't have the great sprint at the end of the mile. But God even took care of that. In place of the great sprint, He gave me stamina. And that's correct. Gil Dodd just sets a killing pace for the whole mile. He basically sprints the mile. And he broke the record. And sometimes we're focused, oh yeah, but I don't have an incredible sprint at the end. Whatever sprint is for our lives. And we excuse ourselves, well, I can't do that. Right? I was a youth pastor in Southern Ontario and led a team of 13 to 16 churches involved, a bunch of youth workers. How can we minister to youth in this area called the Youth Network? We'd get together once a month for prayer, plan 2, maybe 3 area-wide events. I can't tell you how much comparison goes on with youth ministers. Sometimes it goes on with pastors. Sometimes it goes on in your occupations or in your life. Or you're comparing your marriage and that marriage and whatever, right? We're great at comparing each other. I can't do that the way they are. I don't have that great kick at the end of the mile. I don't have that great sprint. And God's going, yeah, you don't need it. I've given you something else. I'm going to supply something supernatural to you to bring me glory and to impact my kingdom. Will we trust God? Will we be followers of Jesus seeking to glorify God? So that whether we eat or drink, whatever we do all for the glory of God. When we run for the glory of God. When we work for the glory of God. When we play, whether it's an instrument or playing a game, we play for the glory of God. When we speak for the glory of God. When we listen for the glory of God. When we serve for the glory of God. When we hug for the glory of God. In all we do for the glory of God. Out of this freedom, out of this, wow, and discovering who I'm created to be and enjoying living this, right? There's joy in this. There's incredible freedom. I don't need to compare to anybody else, but I'm just living who God's created me to be. Are we going to live who God's created us to be? Coaldale MB has a unique role to play right here in Coaldale and around the globe and through the missionaries and other partnerships that we have, but mostly right here through Coaldale in this area. What's our unique role? Will we step into it? Will we go, well, we're not that church. We're not that church. We're going to be this church that God's called us to be for His glory, for His sake. Will we do that? Will we step into it and focus on what we do well and do it for the glory of God? All of it. And we can do all sorts of little things. Some of us are going to the Life Chain this afternoon. We're going to meet at what's the Japanese Gardens parking lot there at 1:45. And one of the reasons I'm going is we were at Rosebud Dinner Theater a few years ago. Beverly and I went and saw The Diary of Anne Frank. And we happened to sit down right beside another couple from our church. We didn't know they were going, church in Linden at the time. Then we sit down beside them. We're talking to them before it happens, before it starts. And he says he remembers being 6 years old. Truckloads of Jews driving down their street. He remembers that. 6 years old. You know, and a lot of people just went along with, well, I don't know really what's going on, but a few people in Germany and around the world at the time said, this is wrong. Treating people like animals is wrong. Killing people is wrong. And so some of us are going to be in Lethbridge and just quietly line up and say that killing people is wrong. Somebody needs to say something, and we're going to do it for the glory of God. I pray that, you know, somebody doesn't think we're oh so amazing or whatever else. We just want to declare some truth. Killing people is wrong, and unforgiveness is wrong, and we got to learn how to walk with people who have made incredible mistakes in their lives and poor choices, right? It's not about bringing condemnation to anybody, but we're going to still speak the truth for the glory of God. And it's in the big and little things of life, whatever we do, for the glory of God, right? Gord can come up here and sing for the glory of God and lead us, and we can praise Him for the glory of God. And how we focus on God here, focus on His splendor here, should change the rest of our week. So how I'm a student this week should bring glory to God. And again, it's not a great big burden on my shoulders. This is something I gotta do. I gotta do this. This is a freely walking as we're created to live. Some of you are flowers who haven't blossomed yet. God says, blossom. Blossom as you are. And I will flow through you more and bring glory to myself. We're going to move into a time of the Lord's Supper, focusing on who God is. This is about God and responding to His splendor, who He is, that we bring glory to Him. I want to read 1 Corinthians 11, right? We were in the end of chapter 10 there with verse 31. Paul follows it up with some of the ways that there was some brokenness in the way they were doing communion. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you might be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? Right? Sometimes when we're pointing out the differences, we're not bringing glory to God. Usually we're not. What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill or sick, and some have even died. But if we have judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it may not be for judgment. About the other things, I'll give directions when I come. This is 1 Corinthians 11. It flows out of the end of chapter. In everything, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. We want to do communion this morning for the glory of God. And in tying in the message, I'll ask those who are serving if they could come forward, by the way. Flowing out of this message, followers of Jesus, right? It's about Him. It's about responding to Him and His goodness. all that he's given us, all that we are and have, is a gift from God. And so we're followers of Jesus, seeking to bring glory to God. But he also commands us to judge ourselves. So examine ourselves, another translation puts it as. Let's take some time as we receive the bread to do just that. God, would you search me and try me? If there be any wicked way in me, am I seeking my own glory? Am I comparing myself to someone else? Am I distracted from what I'm created, who I'm created to be? Then I'm walking in sin, either sin of commission, I'm committing sin, things I do that are not glorifying God, or am I omitting, sins of omission, I'm not doing things that I am created to do. And examine ourselves. And then hand it over to God. Surrender those. Here they are, God. I don't want these to control my life. I want you to control my life and lead me for your glory and for your sake. So let's examine those as we take part in the bread here. Let's judge ourselves and have God examine us. And examine us well. I'll pray and then we'll distribute.